A word ahead of time is what this is all about. God called it, for the older shall serve the younger. And when you realize what God is saying, is He's saying, I know the end from the beginning, and I have made up my mind there's going to be a program, and the program will be one of mercy shown to mercy seekers. And He called it before they were ever born, that how this was going to end up is the older would serve the younger. And that's what the word of promise was. It's a word of promise. It's not a word of theology. It's a word of promise. The one's going to serve the other, and that was the word of promise. And when He goes on to say that the purpose of God, don't forget what He said back in 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His what? His purpose. What is God's purpose? His purpose is that you and I would be trophies of His grace. For the principalities and powers, He's going to talk about it. God wanted to show the world, show His wrath, show His mercy. He wanted to show His riches of His glory. That's what God does. The purpose of God is that He might demonstrate some stuff on the platform of eternity that could not have been demonstrated any other way. That the purpose of God according to election. What election? Election is a word that literally means to speak out before. The purpose of God, He's spoken out before. And what He's saying is He's saying God spoke out before some stuff. Before the world ever unfolded, He spoke out who would believe. You say, well, there you go. Well, go back to chapter 8, will you? And let your eye fall down in chapter 8 to verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. You might underline those words. This is what election is based upon. It's on His foreknowledge. If you were to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, you'd see the same word. He says, we were elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God looked down through the corridors of time. He saw how things would unfold if He let them unfold. And He knew who would believe and who would not. And He would bring to bear His conviction on everyone. Some would suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Them He would give up. And some would receive gladly the good news and be baptized and follow Jesus and be saved. And He said, those people, that makes it worth it to me. And He allowed it to unfold. You want to talk about animating the love of God? I want to tell you something. He didn't just let Jesus die for us. He let prophets and He let saints and martyrs die for us. And He lets wars be undertaken on the platform of human history. And people die. Babies are aborted. Life goes on. Why? He lets Himself be subjected to what He calls long suffering in this passage in chapter 9. He says He bore long with us. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you that much that He lets it. I mean, you let the lights go down and a spotlight come in and there you are. I love you that much. All for you because I knew you would believe me and I knew I could take you and I could make you my bride and I knew that the angels would stand aghast and they would be there standing silent, folding wings and marveling at the mercies of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge. Back to chapter 9, verse 11. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of work. We just saw it was not of birth. Those people who thought it was because they were children of Abraham. Remember that came up, remember? Jesus coming down to the triumphal entry and they said, tell them to be quiet. He says, I say unto you that if they're quiet, these rocks will cry out. He says, do not say we have Abraham as our father. He's able to raise up seed unto Himself from these stones. He tells them that. It's not about your birth. Now, if you're a Christian, you've been brought up a Christian home, you may be Christian surface, but not Christian heart. And so what we have here is we have a word from God saying it's not about your birth. And now He's saying, in no uncertain terms, you might underline it, not of works. He's going to point that out more in a minute. But he's back to the word of promise. That it not of works, but of Him that calleth. Now the Bible says God commands all men everywhere to repent. He would not command people to do something they were incapable of doing. Now, those who are hyper-Calvinists, they'd say, yeah, well, that just means he commands all men that are to be saved to repent. And they like to kind of twist the words and isolate and say, yeah, he'll draw all men unto himself, and that just means all men who are going to be saved, who are meant to be. Guys, listen, that's not what it says. And God is not playing mind games. It says he died for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole earth. He wants you to know that. God is not willing that what? Any should perish. But all should come what? To repentance. And if people go to hell, they do it on purpose. And the Bible says in no uncertain terms in chapter 1, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The Bible says that they change the likeness of God into the image of four-footed beast and so forth. And the Bible says God has revealed to him what can be known of him, and they are without excuse. Nobody will stand in that day and say, well, you ordained me to this end. No way. And I know I stand by men who are greater and maybe godlier than I, but I'm telling you what, my Bible is my anchor. It's what tells me what's right and what's wrong, and it tells me I have a responsibility. Go into the world and preach the gospel. I will make you fishers of men. And he says it's according to him that calls. And God calls everyone. But the only ones, according to the word of promise, who are his seed are the people who are the children of promise. The people who see it's about promise. And what you will see in the next section here as we get to verse 14 and following is the word mercy is paramount. Six times the word mercy shows up because that is what God calls us to. He calls us to receive his mercy. The Jew would not do it. The Jewish man would say, no, I am Abraham is my father. Who are you to tell me I need to ask for mercy? I'm a good guy. I've kept the law. That's why he said not of works. Verse 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For Moses, he saith to Moses, I will have mercy. Underline the word mercy there because it'll cue you in to look for it later. It's six times now. He says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Not I will have mercy the second time. He says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. He's already done it. He knows who's going to be saved. We don't, but he knows by his foreknowledge. People who believe in the kind of predeterminate counsel of God saying some are going to be damned and some are going to be saved and they don't have any choice in the matter, they have a real problem with God doing a whole lot of stuff in the Old Testament. Because he acted just as he would have acted if he would not have known ahead of time. He just did what he knew he'd do. He went out, he called out Abraham, and he knew Abraham would hear him. So he called out Abraham. Abraham, he went. He called out Noah. Remember, Noah is a righteous man. He took him. He knew what he was going to do from the beginning. But he was grieved that he made man because he would be grieved. He knew he would. He didn't just fake being grieved. When he saw the world filled with violence, he had to take Noah and his family out. These are the things you have to put your mind around. God acted just as he would have, according to his foreknowledge. He just did what he would do, and he felt what he would feel as it came about. And he's not limited by time, and I know that's theologically gives you a headache, but the fact of the matter is, he's saying it's all about mercy, and he calls people to mercy, and some people stumble, and he's going to use the word stumbling block, because they're looking at their birth, or they're looking at their works. He says, I'm looking for people who aren't saying, look what I got for you. I'm looking for people who says, I got nothing. I need mercy. And he says, nothing can separate us. We're the seed of the promise. We're the children of the promise. And he says in verse 15, he says, I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. He's already done it because he's looked down through the corridors of time and through his foreknowledge, he chose us who would believe. Verse 16, it says, so then, and this is a key verse to the whole chapter. Verse 16, it's in your bulletin. And it says this, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean we have no will? No, it means it's not just desiring to be saved. You know, some people think they're going to be saved because they want to be saved. I've actually talked to people on the street. I said, do you know you're going to heaven? They'll say, well, yeah, I think I will. I said, what would you say? And they'd say, well, I want to be in heaven. I really want to. You know, wanting to ain't going to cut it. Okay? Might be you want to, but if you don't know how, you need somebody to lead you. We don't like asking anybody to lead us, so we may just go on our way to hell quietly because nobody will ask a question. But, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch knew, right? Philip ran up beside the chariot and he said, do you understand what you're reading? He's reading Isaiah. He says, how can I unless somebody guide me? We aren't going to find this out because it doesn't make a big sense in our minds. It seems like we ought to be a good person. That'd be good enough. You aren't going to find God by reasoning. Because God defies our reason. He just blows us away, doesn't he? Did you know when you look at the line of Christ, you got a harlot in there? Defies reason. You got a Gentile in there, Ruth? Defies reason. Reason would say, no, it's all about the Jews. It's all about... No. You know, he's got an adulterer in there. His name's David. Defies reason. God makes no apology that this is a messy thing down here. And he waded into it. And oftentimes Jesus said, how long shall I suffer you? Not for him that willeth. Now that's the idea of wanting to. Nor him that runneth. And that's the third point we're going to get under. The one is wishing that we're under right now. It's not of birth, it's not of wishes, and it's not of works. And those are our three points to the passage. But in verse 16, he says, it's not of him that will it. In verse 17, it says, for the Scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show. You might underline the words, that I might show my power. Because he's going to show three things. He's going to show his power. He says, that I might show my power in thee. What power? The power of his wrath and of his mercy. He says in verse 18, he says, therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. And some people have jumped on that. There's another tree. Oh boy, oh boy, he's hardening. See, God's hardening. Yeah, he's hardening. He's hardening by giving up. God hardens when we say no, he says okay. Now in this room this morning, there are some of us who have no consciousness that we're in trouble at all, and yet we are on our way in the wrong direction. We think we've got our birth going on. We think we're good people. We want to go to heaven. But we have no change of life. We have no witness of the Holy Spirit in our core, and he that hath not the Spirit is none of his. And yet we go on quietly acting as if there's nothing wrong in my world. I'm fine. Why? Because God gives up. And he gave up on Pharaoh, and he let Pharaoh come to his place. Part of him letting him come to his place was not a by the seat of his pants thing. God didn't just say, well, I think I'll look over here. Here's Pharaoh. We'll put him in there. He says, if it unfolds, there's going to be a guy named Pharaoh, and that's where I'm going to show up. He already knew it before it ever happened. He didn't raise him up by happenstance. He knew the man would be a mogul of power and wanting self-worship. He thought he was God. Pharaoh did. So God said, I'll go toe-to-toe with him. That'll be the guy I'll go with. First kingdom where they started having all this real overt emperor worship was under Pharaoh. I'll go toe-to-toe with him. And he says in verse 16 or verse 17 that I might show my power. How did he do that? All those plagues, right? Plague after plague. And then he says, so that my name, verse 17, might be declared throughout all the earth. Why? Why would he want his name declared? Is God an egomaniac? No, he wants everybody to be saved. Here's the real God, over here. The one who's doing the plagues, the one who's parting Red Seas, the one who's wiping out a whole army of the greatest empire on the earth. Here he is. Don't forget it. Verse 18. He hath mercy on whom he will have mercy. Mercy again. It's go time and time. Six times. Mercy, mercy, mercy. God wants to have mercy. Problem is, we want to hope so. We want to wish. We want to think our birth. Verse 19. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth ye find fault? Who hath resisted his will? And I would say that his answer to Calvinistic machinations is verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who do you think you are? Wrestling with these words in such an overt fashion. He says, I'm telling you it's about mercy and you're looking at your navel. It's not about our little minds. It's about God saying, this is the word of promise. And the word of promise is going to bring forth the children of promise. And as the promise to Sarah was one way and the promise to Rebecca was another way, the promise to you is the same way. And he's going to say that in chapter 10. He says, where is the word of faith? It is nigh thee, even in your tongue. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the word of promise. And that's where he's going. But he says, you're looking at it, you're looking at the trees, and you're getting all wrapped up. And he says, it has nothing to do with anything. You'll never understand my ways. My ways are not your ways, not my thoughts are your thoughts. He says, my ways are so far above your ways, you haven't even got a clue. He says, you just listen to me. It's about mercy. And I'm looking for some people who need some mercy. I need some mercy. Amen. And I hope you know you do too. You know what the Bible says? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because theirs and theirs alone is the kingdom of heaven. People who think their birth and their want-tos ain't going to work. Verse 18, verse 19, verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? He says in verse 21, he says, hath not the potter power over the clay to make up the same lump? Underline the word same lump. Because that's telling us, he's talking about the whole ball of wax, the whole ball of clay, if you will. He's saying the whole world.